Musings, a DC Comics podcast. As always, I'm your host Adam, and with me today is my co-host Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Adam. We are 126 days away from the Bat-Tat wedding as of this episode being released. So there's a countdown for that episode, and I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I saw Black Panther today, but this is not a Marvel podcast, so I won't spend too much time talking about it.
Give your one sentence review.
Okay, it was the best solo Marvel movie since Captain America: The Winter Soldier. And I know you don't like that movie, but you're bizarre in that way. So it is what it is. Folks, go see it and check it out for yourselves. But I loved it. Speaking of movies, we are foregoing news this week, and we are celebrating the now past, but just slightly past, 1 year anniversary of the Batman Lego movie, directed by Nightwing director Chris McKay. To do that,
Lego Batman, not Batman Lego, Lego Batman.
Oh, is it, what did I say? Okay, anyway.
You said Batman Lego.
The Lego Batman movie, excuse me. directed by future Nightwing director Chris McKay, to help celebrate the one-year anniversary of this movie. I actually brought on somebody who likes this movie, like me, who is in the sane camp side of things. And I'd like to bring him in now, our guest, Eric Holtzman. Eric, how are you today?
Hello, Adam. Hello, Jordan. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm doing great. I also saw Black Panther last night. I heard you mention you saw Black Panther. I saw it last night.
Yes. What did you think of it?
I agree with you. I think it was the best solo Marvel movie since the Captain America Winter Soldier, which, Jordan, I can't believe you don't like that movie. What the hell is wrong with you?
There are many things. I've consulted many specialists, and none of them have been able to give me an answer yet. So the jury is still out, and if there are any, as I've put out the call many times before on this podcast, if there are any listeners who are actual psychiatrists or psychologists, please contact me, and we'll have you come on the show and diagnose what exactly is wrong with my co-host.
Yeah, no.
If Hugo Strange is out there, then
I could care.
You know,
I don't know if you want that kind.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It could be Harley Quinn, Hugo Strange. Dr. Phil, I really don't care. Just let's get somebody on here and figure this thing out. But
yeah, that's a separate podcast I'd like to do with you, as why you don't like Winter Soldier.
You know what? Once we have that psychiatrist line, I'm literally going to put the call out for fans of superheroes, that is also a psychiatrist, because I'd like to get him in here.
There's that woman that does the Arkham Sessions podcast. I think she's a psychologist.
Do you have her contact info? Send it to me so I can I'll legitimately send her a message. I'd really love to know why the hell you don't like, I know this is a DC podcast, so forget about Winter Soldier for a second. I just want to know why the hell you like Catwoman, and your explanation doesn't hold water with me, so I need professional.
You're referring to the film, right?
Yeah. Yes. No, the character's great. The film is a piece of crap. But you know,
we might need Dr. Crane for this one. That would might be a better.
Yes, and even he'd stop listening. And his tagline, is "I'm listening." And even he would tune you out. But you know,
oh my goodness,
that's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about a great movie in 2/3 of this panel's opinion, and the other third really doesn't matter. But Jordan, since you're here, we might as well get you to do something useful. Give us the description of this fantastic movie.
So which movie do you want me to find the description of?
The Lego Batman movie, directed by...
Oh, okay, Batman. Okay, because you said something else at first, and that doesn't really fit the description of this movie. Well, okay, are we thinking one sentence or two sentences?
I'm going to guess it's IMDb, and they're a bunch of lazy bastards, so I'm going to say one.
Alrighty, you are correct.
Right on cue.
A cooler than ever Bruce Wayne, not sure how much I'm feeling that, must deal with the usual suspects as they plan to rule Gotham City while discovering that he has accidentally adopted a teenage orphan who wishes to become his sidekick.
That's kind of a clean version.
That's what we've learned IMDb always is with
that. That's what you read in, like, when you read the back of a book, when you want to buy a book, you read the back and just a quick synopsis.
Yeah.
Because that is way too serious. Like that when I hear that, I think it's a serious movie, not a movie. Yeah. So
I should have just read the back of the box, but it's on my shelf and that would require me getting up and I'm not in the mood for that, so We'll have to go with whatever crap IMDb gives us, and that's what they give us. I think for me, just to start us off before we get into the actual movie, I think it's fair to say that I watched the Lego movie on the sole basis that Batman was in it.
Okay.
I'm not going to make any bones about that.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, because Batman was in it. No disrespect to Lego. I played with them as a child. And all that cool stuff. But the idea of a movie, when I first heard of a Lego movie, I'm like, what the hell? What are they going to do? It's ridiculous. And then I'm like, oh, well, Batman's in it, so I'll go. And the one thing I loved about that movie, I enjoyed the movie, but the one thing that stood out and that I loved about it was Will Arnett as Batman.
Yes. So,
is that fair to say? I mean, Jordan, you pretty much said it was the only reason you watched the Lego Batman movie. But Eric,
yeah, it was. No, it was the only reason I watched the Lego movie.
Oh, sorry, yeah, the Lego movie. Of course, that's the only reason you watched Lego Batman, because it's called Lego Batman. But Eric, is that the only reason you watched the movie as well?
Well, when the Lego movie came out, I wasn't sure I was going to see it at all. I was like, I don't know. It seems kind of hokey and silly, and maybe I don't want to go see this. And then I never do this, but everyone I know who saw it said it was really good. And then I was reading reviews and those were really good. So I didn't have any preconceived notions going in. I knew Chris Pratt was the main character, like the main voice star of the movie.
Sure.
So I knew him and I'm like, all right, let me go give it a shot. And it had so many references in that movie to things I like, Star Wars, obviously Batman, and every other character that's in that movie. So watching it, just sitting there watching it, I saw it in the movies and I was sitting there watching. I'm like, wow, this movie is really, really good. But definitely the star and the scene stealer of that movie was Will Arnett's Batman. That movie does not go anywhere if he's not in it.
Right,
and
that's
why we got the Lego Batman movie, because he was received.
And it's funny because I remember my nephews saw it before me. And when the next day they had come over, they said, oh, you'd love the Lego Batman movie. This happens. And I'm like, oh, okay. I know I'm taking advice from the children, but it sounds cool. So I'll check it out, right? I mean, my thought process was I could go to Rotten Tomatoes, but I tend to not agree with whatever they say.
Right.
So being a Lego movie, let me take the advice of children. It sounds good advice. And so I did, and I ended up loving it. And I'm like, man, they could really do some things with that version of Batman. And then they announced that they were going ahead with this movie. One of the things that I really right off the hop loved about this movie was
which movie? We gotta stop. You're still talking about the Lego movie?
No, I'm past the Lego movie at this point.
Okay.
We're talking about the Lego Batman movie. It gets me right off the bat when, no pun intended, when the opening credits start, right, and you have the logos,
right,
and he's running through them and he's like, Warner Bros. And it's like, I don't understand why it's not Warner Brothers, but whatever. And then, you know, the DC logo comes on. And I swear to God, I almost fell out of my chair. When he's like, DC, he's like, the house that Batman built. And yep. He's like, that's right, Superman, come at me, bro. I was dying. Like, I was the only one choking, like, before the movie actually started. And then, you know, it's funny, because I rewatched it last night, and he said, he's like, Rat Pack. He's like, I'm not sure what they do. And then, given what we know about Brett Ratner, I think whatever that's best left unsaid.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, he goes into the movie, and it starts. Oh, and the part when he's like, black screen. All important movies start with a black screen. And makes studio execs and parents nervous. Which made me laugh. I couldn't stop laughing.
Before we get any further into the movie, I do want to tell the story of the first time I saw this movie, because it sort of leads in pretty well.
Okay, sure.
I think. So coming off the just going back to speak on the Lego movie real quick. I do not care for that movie at all. In fact, frankly, I'd say it's. I mean, obviously you guys disagree with me, but it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, in my opinion. I couldn't stand that movie. And so when I heard they were doing the Lego Batman movie, I was trepidatious, to be sure. But you know, it's a new animated Batman movie. I had a certain level of excitement for it, regardless. And so I was, let's see, I was in college at the time, and I was going to one of the Thursday night preview screenings, and I was in college up in for anybody that doesn't know, I live in Atlanta now. And I was going to college up in the middle of nowhere, Massachusetts. We had a little small theater in town, and they didn't do the Thursday night preview screenings. And so one of the biggest snowstorms of last year hit. That it was February 10th when the movie came out. I guess February 9th was the Thursday night preview screening, and I had my ticket. I had it all planned out. I had a late class on Thursday night, so I was gonna skip class and go an hour to the closest bigger town to go to one of the Thursday night preview screenings. This shows, okay, this I've got to say, this is how much I love Batman, that even a Batman movie that I wasn't that excited about, I was gonna go an hour in normal weather to go see it in a snowstorm. Okay,
dedication. That's dedication.
It is. It is.
And you skip school, which makes me wonder how much school you skip, because you enjoy the Catwoman movie. So like,
okay, yeah, but
either that or I question the education system wherever you, because that was what 2003.
Well, so that was 2004. Yeah, I was not in college when.
So you were in elementary school back then.
Yeah, I guess I was. Yeah.
Whoever taught you.
Why were you watching that movie then?
Whoever taught you should be
the
fired.
Catwoman movie.
Yes.
I had really lenient parents. They couldn't have given two shits.
just a PSA. If you're one of Jordan's elementary teachers, shame on you. You should be fired. Continue.
Fired for what?
For your lack of education. You watch that movie. You enjoy that movie. No, it's got nothing to do with his parents. God. I'm talking about his teachers, because his teachers should have instilled quality discernment into him as they went partying to college. They clearly didn't go anywhere, but continue your story.
Oh, my God. So anyway, I make the drive. I leave my school's campus like probably 3 or 4 hours before the movie started, just because I was worried about this. I drove really slow because of the snowstorm, and it was nuts, and I would like to get to the movie really early anyway. So anyway, I braved through all that weather to go see a Batman movie. It was a Batman movie. I wasn't all that excited for this Batman movie, but I was like, it's a Batman movie. I'm going to go watch it no matter what for one of the Thursday night preview screenings. So I go all the way out there. I watch the movie. I actually, on my first viewing, I enjoyed it more than I do now, and I'll get more into this later, but my enjoyment of it has decreased quite a bit from where it started. I think the reason I enjoyed it more, a little bit more when I first saw it, was because I did think it was better than the Lego movie, and at least I had that to be thankful for. But yeah, so I went and saw the movie, and then I went to a McDonald's over in that town, because they had the Lego Batman movie toys at the time, and so I was collecting those, and so I bought one of the toys, and then I went back in the snowstorm. So anyway, that was my adventure, seeing the Lego Batman movie the first time. I guess it's not as interesting the story that I thought it was at first, but it is funny, because you know, it shows how passionate I am about Batman, I guess, that I went out in a snowstorm to go see it was probably like an hour and a half almost 2 hour drive, how slowly I had to drive because of how bad the snow was. But yeah,
that's go a little crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy journey. So I sort of look back at that. I do have sort of fond memories of that fun trip I had to go see it, even if I don't have that fond memories of the movie itself. So.
Yeah, and let's be honest, we can question your opinion. But we can't question your level of Batman fandom. So there's that.
That's for sure. So that is for sure.
You can hang on to that with all your might because that's about, you know.
That, yes.
Well, I wear that with pride. Yeah, I appreciate that.
You should. Basically, the movie is essentially, it starts with Joker basically flying a bomb into Gotham City, and the whole reason he's doing what he's doing is to lure out Batman, and then
right
to ultimately get Batman to admit that that the Joker is his greatest enemy.
Right, like he needs him. Right.
Yeah, this is the Jerry was it? It's not Jerry Maguire, is it? Is that the movie it's from?
You completely yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, because I am right. Okay, yeah. So that's the whole crux. That's the whole reason for Joker doing what he's doing. And I love that, again, one of the things that the movie as a whole, I give it a lot of credit for, is just the reverence to the history of Batman and all the references. So, like, when he hijacks that plane, here are some of the references. And we're not going to go scene by scene, but I just want to make some of where he gets into the cockpit, and he basically tells the pilot that I'm taking control of this plane, and why aren't you scared and all this, and he's like, well, because Batman's gonna come and he's gonna stop you, and he's like, no, this is different, and he's like, well, you mean like that time with the boats, which is a clear reference to the Dark Knight.
Yep.
And then he's like, no, but this time my plan is more thought out. He's like, oh, you mean that time with the Prince music and the balloons, referencing 1989. So just, you know, that kind of stuff gets to me. And the whole opening sequence, I looked at it and I thought, because I never partook in really paying attention to watching, you know, Lego movies. It was never my thing. So one of the, aside from the Lego movie, one of the curiosities I have was, well, how the hell, what's this thing going to look like? Is it going to have real, like, you know, cool cinematic visual kind of things? And what I like about the whole opening sequence is that it does. It's very, it looks very cinematic despite being, you know, what it is.
I did like the detail of the water on the plane that you can see. Oh, I thought that was cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, if each of you just want to briefly speak to what are your thoughts on that? Like, starting with that, with those references, and we'll get into more of them later, but those references and just the overall cinematic quality or lack thereof, maybe in Jordan's case of this movie. So Eric, you're the guest, so we'll start with you. So give us some of your thoughts on the references and the Batman, you know, the Batman lore and just the overall cinematic quality of the piece and how you felt that came about.
Well, I thought the Lego movie did well with the cinematic quality as well. So, and the attention to detail that was in this movie too, as you said, as a Lego movie, it's kind of hard to expect something like that, but they did a really good job. And with the references to everything in this movie, everything Batman, everything that this movie touches having to do with Batman, there's something for everyone in every era that Batman's been around. Yeah. So whether you're a historian of the character or you're not, or whether you've only known Batman for 5-10 years, I think this movie touched everybody. And that's one of the things I love about it. There's a lot of questions my nephews were asking me because they didn't get the references, and it was things I could explain to them. So it was, that was kind of cool. Just the overall feel, the feeling you get watching this movie, if you're a Batman fan, I think you just, it's just a big hug to all of us. That's what I took from it, from the movie.
Evidently, Jordan doesn't like hugs. Jordan, what's say? Go ahead. speak to the cinematic quality and the opening references, if you will.
Yeah, sure. First of all, one thing that does strike me, and this is, I don't have that many things to praise about this movie, but this is one thing I will praise. Lorne Balfe's score is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's almost like I listen to that score sometimes and I'm like, parts of this, okay, first of all, I think it's cool because there are a lot of nods to, I hear a lot of Hans Zimmer's Batman theme.
Yes.
From the Dark Knight trilogy. Sure.
It's there.
And I can listen to that score almost
all the time.
I listen to it from time to time. I don't put it on that often, but when I do put it on, I can almost take this. This could be a lot of the score, not all of it, but a lot of it could be from a serious Batman movie, if you will. It would work. And so that's one thing I will praise, that the score is very good in this film. And it starts right from the beginning in that plane scene. I don't like the Joker in this movie at all. I really don't. I don't think Zach Galifianakis brings anything to the role, really, anything new. I find his performance really bland. I don't find, and obviously I know it's a Lego movie, I know it is, so I know that what they're going for is just to be silly, but I don't find there anything menacing about his Joker at all. I mean, like, even Mark Hamill's Joker, when he does it in Justice League Action, which is like an extremely lighthearted show, there's still some menace to it, and I don't hear any of that in Zach Galifianakis' performance. And it's just a little too, again, this is just a problem I have with this whole movie, is that it's just too goofy for my taste. It really is. I do appreciate the references, like when he goes through all the Batman villains, he starts naming the C-listers.
That was funny. Yeah.
Condiment King.
I actually have to admit something, as big of a Batman fan as I am, I had to look that one up.
Really?
Condiment King?
I was like, really? Condiment King?
Yeah,
he's from Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, it's from the Animated Series. Yeah, that's true.
I know, but I had to double check. Like, really? that seems far-fetched. I mean, even
he was in the I want to say where I saw it, just saw him come up in the comments. Well, not just but I was rereading this fairly recently. He's in it's either the Batgirl Year One or the Robin Year One comic that he shows up in.
I don't know that I've read that one. So maybe that's
really okay.
Now I may have to go back and read that just to, with my own two eyes to see.
For what it's worth, I think they're pretty good. Those two comics.
Right. Well,
He's gonna get his own movie. He's gonna get his own movie now. Watch Condiment King.
It'll be one of the ones that is outside the DC connected universe.
Right. Yeah.
Condiment King. You know what? Listen, if they're ever gonna do a comedy, that would be the one to do. But.
Yeah, what were you saying?
No, continue. You were saying the references to the other villains, like King Tut. I freaked out when I heard King Tut because, you know, I grew up with reruns. I want to specify reruns of 66. King Tut was man. I love that. I love that character.
It wasn't in this sequence, but one of the villain nods that I appreciated more than any was that the Kabuki twins are in this movie. And they're villains that have only ever previously appeared in The Batman, which I've talked about a billion times on this show, is what made me a diehard Batman fan, is that animated series. And to see, there's actually two nods to it in this movie, but to see those, and I mean, that's a series that, I mean, maybe it's partly due to my bias for that series, but I feel like it gets overlooked a lot. And so to see, I did really appreciate that they made sure to make nods to that series in this film. So I'll get to the other reference to that later. But overall, this scene, I mean, this opening scene just it didn't work for me overall. Even though I did appreciate those villain nods and I do. That's one thing I appreciate about this movie. I do appreciate the nods it pays to Batman history. You mentioned it with the nods to The Dark Knight and Batman 89. So I appreciate all that. It's just the goofiness of this movie right from the start. It was too much for me.
The one thing that I can't stress enough that I was so happy about, and I know it was brief and I wish he was in it more, but Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face.
Finally. Yeah.
Because,
right?
Listen,
yeah.
I don't care what he's doing. Anything is better than, excuse my language, shit stain that was Tommy Lee Jones on the Two-Face character. Because that's what it was. Shit stain, but a shit stain nonetheless.
22 years after he should have been Two-Face, he finally got to be Two-Face.
So Billy... Billy Dee just is just cool, right? Like yeah. you hear him and just like you get put into this place of coolness immediately. You just like, yeah, that's Billy Dee Williams. Yeah, it's true. Very true.
But it's like I'm like, okay, some wrong from the Schumacher era, and there were many. What was righted with that brief appearance? So I'll say that. One of the things that I love that this movie touches on in general is the fact that Batman's outward persona and his private persona are very different. And I don't mean necessarily Bruce Wayne. What I mean by that is, you know, outwardly, he thinks he's the best. He thinks he's awesome. You know, everything he does is great. And he loves the adoration of the public that he saves and all that. And it's all well and good. And then when he's in private, but you know, at Wayne Manor with Alfred, you sense the loneliness, the darkness, and the so you know of the character. And I think what it does is it underscores the importance, even in a film that is trying to be funny, and is purposely over the top at times. It's underscoring the importance of the Bat family and what that does for the character of Batman. Whereas like, you see it, we see it in what I'm trying to say is you see it a lot in the serious books. So like whenever Robin dies, you know, Batman goes through a period where he's
right
secluded into himself, and then it takes being around, you know, the rest of the other Robins or Batgirl or Batwoman or
right,
you know, what have you, to snap him out of it.
Catwoman.
Okay, Catwoman. We know she doesn't have to be mentioned every 5 seconds. Everybody knows how important she is to the mythos. Damn it. Except
yes.
for that stupid movie. But anyway, my point is they did a good job of even in a wildly different scenario where they're trying to be funny. I thought it was emotionally hard hitting to see Batman at such a low point and then have the Bat family pick him up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you definitely catch a lot of that, especially, you know, even after the opening scene when he goes back and he's sitting there and he's eating and he's just looking at the picture of his family, his parents.
Yeah,
I'm glad. Like, you kind of... Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, no, go ahead. I'll chime in after. Go ahead. So you're gonna...
No, you just, I mean, at the end of the day, you need to remember it's a Lego movie, so it's really, it's geared to kids more than it is to adults. And I think every movie now, for whatever reason, has to have some kind of hidden subliminal message in it, no matter what the movie is. And that's what it was trying to squeeze in that, yes, even though this is a funny movie, and yes, even though we're poking fun at a lot of things, you know, at the end of the day, family's still important,
right?
Even to Batman. Like, that's the message,
but,
I think.
But even that they can go to that dark place in this kind of a movie, I thought was very impressive. And
right.
It's not something that they belabored or dwelled on too long. It was just the right amount. And
yeah.
Like, even him looking at that picture, you know, me as a 30, well, now I'm 34, but then I was what? It came out last year, so I was
33.
Yeah. thank you. My math is
you're welcome.
I was not a math major, everybody. It's not as clear as it is now. But As a 33-year-old man, even that got me, like, I was getting choked up just, you know, watching a Lego Batman experience that. And then, obviously, they had the funny moment with Alfred talking about, oh, you're going through one of your phases. And he goes, I've seen this in 2016.
Right,
2012,
yeah.
1997. And, oh, my God, I got to be honest with you. They flashed those nipples. They didn't even, this is how shit Batman and Robin is. They didn't even bother to Lego animate a poster. They just showed Clooney's nipples.
What did you do? You didn't need it. It's perfect in its own right.
It brought back such childhood trauma for me. that one second, but and then it's like 1995, and then 1992, and then he goes, and then you had that weird thing in 1966, and then you have Adam West dancing,
right?
Which was kind of that was funny, but the fact that they went there, I thought was impressive and shows Chris McKay's understanding and love of the wider mythos. I thought.
I'm gonna have to go on a little bit of a rant because this is my biggest this is one of my biggest issues with this movie.
Okay.
I'll say I can't stand this portrayal of Batman specifically. I can't stand it. I find they portray Batman like a whiny 5-year-old child. Like, I mean, it's like the scene where he's like, where Alfred is telling him he has to go to the gala, and he's, it makes for a good gif that I use all the time. But other than that, I mean, just him flopping around the ground going, no, 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 no. And him and Alfred having to you know, convince him with a tuxedo party. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't ever want to see that out of that.
But that,
I just
but that was the point of the movie.
But
like,
it's
that's,
for kids, you realize that, right?
That was the point.
Yeah, guess what? Guess what? Batman Mask of the Phantasm was geared towards kids too. Not and really. They didn't try to do that.
But that's a serious movie. That was a serious movie. This was not a serious movie.
I understand that.
Go ahead.
I understand what they were going for. I just don't want to see that. I just don't. It just doesn't sit right with me. And seeing that, and another thing that gets me is like, okay, here, you brought up a good point. That picture, the scene with Batman looking at the family photo, that sure. should have been touching. But I couldn't get past the fact that Batman had his cowl on wearing a bathrobe in that scene.
Well, that was funny part about it, because he always wants to be Batman.
But how am I supposed to take that seriously?
You're not.
How am I supposed to take it?
You're not. That's the whole point.
But didn't you just say they were trying to make me take at least that part seriously with him looking at the family? Adam just said he teared up at that scene.
Yeah, I mean, but hold on a second. I'm not saying that moment of him feeling, you know, sorrow got me emotional. Not the part where he's in his cowl saying no, 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 no. I laughed immediately after, and that's the point. Is you don't want to send, you know, 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds into a depression for a whole. You want to get the point across enough to them, and then keep their interest with a laugh. It's the reason why you don't take a 5-year-old to the Dark Knight trilogy. Because you traumatized.
Well, Batman the Animated Series was targeted towards kids, and they didn't sink to these levels.
All right, what is the greatest thing about Batman as a character?
His malleability, that he can be in
exactly. Anybody could be Batman, right?
Yeah.
So I think you have
except
to...
Except for John Blake, because he'd be dead in 5 minutes. But that's neither here nor there.
Do not get me
We're not
started.
Going on this topic, because I agree with you. Of Adam, so
John Blake was a great character.
Sure.
That's another podcast. Yeah.
That is another podcast.
You can do that if you want. I'll be on that. That'd be great.
Batman's malleability is not the greatest thing about his character. I appreciate that he does have malleability, but that's not what I appreciate most about the character. I'll tell you exactly what I appreciate most about the character of Batman. I appreciate Batman. Because here's the thing that really stands out to me as a Batman fan. To me, he's the most noble of any hero. And it's because he took a tragedy. He took a tragedy which, and we see it in the sort of the parallel with the Joker. If you go by, say, the Killing Joke origin, the Joker suffered his tragedy too and turned to madness. Whereas Batman, he suffered this tragedy and he took this tragedy and he said, okay, I'm never going to find happiness again. My life's over. But what am I going to do instead? As long as I'm still alive, I'm going to fight to make sure no one else has to suffer this thing, so that other people can have happy lives. So that I'm going to make sure that my life, I'm going to dedicate my life that's never going to be happy to making sure other people can have happy lives. That's the most important thing to me about the character of Batman.
Okay, but I'll counter that. You still get Batman's nobility. That's the word you use.
Yeah, nobility is the word I use.
You still get Batman's nobility in this. By the time he makes the realization at the end that I can't be all about me, I can't keep shutting out people, he was willing to sacrifice himself for his quote-unquote family.
Right. You see, okay. Here's the thing. I liked that idea in this movie, and it's actually I'm going to reference the Bat-Cat relationship again,
because I can't help it.
The theme of this movie is basically Batman realizing. I mean, he has that speech at the end when he comes back with Batgirl and Robin and Alfred, where he talks about how he was afraid to have his to lose somebody that he cares about again.
Right.
And this reminds me of a theme that plays out a lot with the Bat-Cat relationship, particularly in Heart of Hush, in the beautiful scene at the end of that comic, where Batman basically tells Bruce and Selina, because they're both out of costume, and Selina's laying in the hospital bed, and Bruce basically tells her that he was afraid to. Well, you know what? I tried to pull it up here. I'll read you the quote because I did try to pull it up here. So I'll read you the exact quote rather than
get to it. So then we can continue on the movie. Let's go.
There's been only one woman who has ever really held my heart. I locked that part of myself away after my parents died. It was too hurt to risk exposing again. And yet, despite my best efforts, you broke in. You were the first to touch my heart and remind me I still had one. That is a beautiful message. This scene is one of my favorite scenes ever in the history of comics. It makes me cry every time. I love it. Yeah. And that theme, like to me, Catwoman is the one who shows Bruce. Basically, the whole thing about one of the main things about the Bat-Cat relationship, not the whole thing, one of the main things is that Selina reminds Bruce that he still has the ability to love. She basically does what they tried to make Robin do in this movie, I guess, and I guess Batgirl and Alfred to a certain extent to show Batman that
it's the same idea, just with different characters.
Same idea, but in this case, first of all, in my opinion, it should be with Catwoman. Catwoman should be the one who does that. Secondly, you have to be in Heart of Hush. That's a completely dead serious scene. I can't take this message seriously in this movie because it's surrounded by all this ridiculousness. One of the best scenes in this movie, the only time that Batman actually feels like Batman in this movie is the ending scene when he removes his mask and talks to Robin right before he goes up to the Phantom Zone. That is the only scene where he actually feels like the Batman that I know and love. The rest of this movie is, like I said, he's acting like a five-year-old. And so then my other problem, and I'll talk about this later, is the fact that his love interest in the movie is Batgirl. And it's like, did we not already see that mistake happen with the Killing Joke? Did we not see that happen with the Killing Joke?
Let's go back to you saying that it should be Catwoman.
It should be.
Okay, read more than five comics, and you'll realize that whenever Batman's gotten too deep into himself and too obsessed, you know the first person to bring him out? It's always been Robin.
Yep.
It was Dick Grayson, the first, and then when Jason Todd died, it was Tim Drake. It's always been Robin. For the longest time before the comics started really keying in on, and I'm not just talking about recently, I'm talking about the years of Hush. Even before the Hush era, where they really started keying in on the Batman-Catwoman relationship, it's always been either the combination of Alfred and Robin or the Bat family more so than Catwoman.
Catwoman will always be number one.
For you, because you prefer Catwoman. But you can't say it should be, because in all of his history, 9 times out of 10, it's been Alfred and or Robin. So you're basing it off of your personal preference, not the history of the character. That's what I'm trying to point out.
Jordan, I admire your passion for Batman and to the history, and this is the character that you want him your way, and that's that. But you need this movie again was a lighthearted love letter to Batman, right? That's what it was. It was not supposed to be taken seriously. It was not supposed to have many serious moments. It has a couple, but it wasn't. That's not the purpose. So if you went into it expecting that, then you weren't going to like it, and your approach was never – you were never going to accept what you saw. So
– I don't feel like that's – I don't think that's an excuse, though, because you can do – okay, because people use the excuse, okay, it's a kids movie. But then I bring up that the DC – a lot of DC animated movies have been quote-unquote kids movies. I mean, even Batman Mask of the Phantasm was technically – I mean, it was marketed towards kids. It was marketed towards kids, was it not? Is that series not
– Anytime Batman is in a cartoon, so to speak, it's going to be considered
quote-unquote a kids movie. But most of them will not be.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference between Batman Gotham by Gaslight and something like Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
I totally agree with you. I don't disagree with you. But I'm saying cartoons in general are marketed to kids. So if it's a cartoon, no one's going to come up to me and say, oh, I have this cartoon movie. You want to see it? No, but if I'm with my six-year-old nephew, they might say, Jake, you know, look at this. This is Batman in a cartoon.
Yeah.
The way that it's marketed is not marketed to us. You're right. A lot of the ones that they do now are very serious. The Killing Joke is not – it is not a cartoon. especially for kids.
But Eric, would you not say that the animated series, well, yes, kids could watch it and still get a kick out of it?
That's when I watched it. I was young when that was out.
But also, adults can watch it, and even the producers have said, you know, before Batman the Animated Series, you never see guns firing and bullets firing the way they would in the show.
Right.
So they were skewing adults. It's just that it was made in a way where it would, you know, that kind of stuff would go over the kids' head and they could enjoy it as a cartoon. But
do that. You know how many kids got introduced to Batman on that?
But not every version of Batman has to be that. If they're always pandering to what came before and what hooked us, the fandom is going to grow stale. Look.
By that logic, then the Schumacher films were a great idea because it's like, okay, well, let's go lighthearted. We just did two dark movies. Let's go lighthearted.
But that's what they did, yeah. And Batman Forever did well.
And listen, say what you want. So, there are people who their first exposure to Batman is Batman Forever, like Brendan Law, that's a guest on the Holy Batcast. So
right.
If that's what brought him into Batman, then that's fine. Just like Catwoman, God help us all, was the first DC movie you saw in theaters, and you somehow still love DC Comics. That's great. I think it's a piece of shit. I honestly don't like, and I'll go one step further, something that's totally geared for kids that I could, if they blew it up off the face of the earth, it wouldn't make me cry, which is the one that you brought up, that Teen Titans Go garbage.
Teen Titans Go to the movies?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Or the show as a whole?
Yeah, the show as a whole. I think it's garbage. But hey, there are kids growing up that are going to learn about DC through that, and then hopefully as they get older, investigate some of the other stuff. But in order for them to do that, each generation needs their way in. So the Lego Batman movie, not taking everything so seriously and being lighthearted and for kids, is the way in.
Right, but, I mean, look how cheesy the 66 show is, right? And yeah. That was my first exposure, really, to Batman,
right.
Was the 66 show and then the Super Friends cartoon. Both of them were very, very silly and ridiculous, I mean, in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. I know that those were entry points for a lot of people, but my point being, some of the darker stuff was entry points for kids, too, such as Batman the Animated Series. So what I'm saying is you don't... In order to get the younger generations invested in this stuff, you don't have to make it light just for them.
But your logic is, let's stop producing new content and just show them Batman the Animated Series and the Batman over and over and over again.
Well, show them new content. Show them – no, make new content. Of course I want them to make new content.
So make new content and make it all the same.
Well, not all the same. The Batman the Animated Series and the Batman are not the same, but they're both – I mean, I know that the Batman's a little bit more lighthearted, but they're both overall serious takes on the character. Whereas this is just a complete balls-out comedy that, frankly, I don't find funny for the most part.
You don't find it funny because you don't accept that as being who Batman can be. Because
you're going in with, it's got to be serious, it's got to be dark. You're already going in with that preconceived notion, so you're never going to enjoy it. You're not going to enjoy it. Just like you didn't enjoy the Batman Scooby Doo thing because it was the same thing, lighthearted, whatever.
Although I did enjoy that more than I enjoyed this, but
okay. But in generality, it's the same idea. You don't. Like
yes. Oh, okay. Right? Before I forget, one more thing I want to touch on. That was a complaint that that's part of that is the whole thing with Catwoman. All she says in this movie is meow meow meow, and she doesn't even get one exchange with Batman in this entire movie. They don't talk once in this whole damn movie.
Okay,
not once.
But you have Batman Returns that you can put in on your Blu-ray. You have The Dark Knight Rises that you can put in on your Blu-ray. You have seasons of the Batman Animated Series that you can put in.
Thank God I do. But
it wasn't a relationship movie.
But then they have the nerve to make the same mistake The Killing Joke did, and I'm somebody who actually enjoyed The Killing Joke movie a lot, but my biggest issue with that movie by far is the ridiculous Batman-Batgirl relationship, and then they double down on it after all the complaints.
They didn't really double down on it, but sure, Batman was initially awestruck by her, but it's not like they ended up in a relationship.
No.
Well, that's true. How do you do that, though, after all the complaints The Killing Joke did the previous
Simple.
Year?
Simple. He's that, not having that sex got... with her on a roof. There's a difference.
Yeah,
that relationship's ridiculous.
But it wasn't a relationship. It was Batman, oh, wow, she's hot. You're telling me that you've never saw a woman for the first time and said, damn, she's hot?
No, or, I'm not saying
it. And it is Rosario Dawson, right? Rosario Dawson did the voice, so I kind of can see.
I would say her voice is hot, too.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how it really irks me that they choose to focus on that as the primary. I guess okay, yeah, they never got in a relationship.
No. That wasn't the primary. The primary
it was the primary love. She was the primary love interest for.
There
Batman
was
in
no
the movie.
Love interest really.
That's what we're trying to tell you. It was Batman initially, like you know, first sight, being infatuated with her.
Batman's love interest in this movie is Batman. It's himself.
Here's a good point, Eric. Okay. Here's what I'll say. It's like me saying, yeah, I'm infatuated with Margot Robbie because when I look at her, I'm like, oh, wow. But I'm not going to sit here, yeah, she's my love interest. I wish that she was, but it's
okay.
Not the case.
I can't argue with you on that one.
Right, yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right. That is a fair point. Right. That is a fair point. Yeah. But that goes back to another complaint I have, Eric, is that Batman's love interest in this movie is himself. Sure, fine, I can roll with that. That is the case, and it is ridiculous. I mean, his narcissism is turned up to like a 100 in this movie.
Because that's the route they went in the Lego movie with him. And that's Will Arnett. That's him. Like, if you've ever seen him, that's the part he played in most of the things Will Arnett's done. That's who he is. So he was just being himself as Batman.
But Eric, I'll go one step further to counter Jordan's point. To a degree, Batman, not obviously not the same one, because you're not trying to entertain and make 5-year-olds laugh. But to a degree, in the comics, Batman is very focused on himself.
Of course.
Sometimes is narcissistic, and sometimes, again, not to the same degree, but is whiny and stubborn with Alfred.
No,
he doesn't whine, but he acts like a whiny child,
the most noble hero there is. He's focused on, if anything, he cares more about everybody else than he cares about himself. That's the whole point of the character.
When Alfred tells him not to do something or that he needs to stop and take a break, Batman is staunch and stubborn and hard-headed.
Look at Batman vs Superman.
He doesn't have a tuxedo dress-up party.
Look at Batman vs Superman.
But it's a kids movie.
I don't care. Batman never should Batman have a tuxedo dress-up party. Why? Sorry, that should not happen in a Batman.
He's a
movie.
Billionaire too. He's a billionaire playboy. Why
it's
can't
a
he have a
Batman's
tuxedo dress-up
party? A kids movie, for God's sake.
Why can't he do that?
And he should not sit in his home theater laughing his ass off at Jerry Maguire. He shouldn't. This movie is.
So you want a whole movie of him sitting in the back cave?
He's a human being.
Yeah.
He's human, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so if he spent the whole hour and 44 minutes of that movie sitting in the theater laughing at Jerry Maguire with Catwoman sitting there, would you have been okay with it?
It would have been better,
so you're being hypocritical.
Because then you give me the added value of the Bat-Cat relationship, and so that makes anything better for me. That makes I'll take
but
that.
Then you're selfish. You're a selfish.
But I still think I would still complain that he shouldn't be laughing. I still think it's out of character for Batman to laugh at Jerry Maguire. I mean, you really think I just can't. It doesn't sit right with me that Batman sits in his home theater laughing.
We never see that from Batman, because that's not the way he's ever been portrayed.
They deliberately
did that for this movie. It was a spoof in a lot of ways on the character. And the fact that you say he's not selfish, no one who is that anal retentive about how, you know, staying in shape, doing all the things he has to do to be a hero, there's a level of selfishness there. So you can say what you want. Yes, he's very noble, of course. He gives up his life and his body, and he goes out and he fights crime and all that. You're right. But there is a level of selfishness of the Batman character. There is.
To be that devoted to an ideal and to ignore, until now, Catwoman, which you're so in love with, that's selfishness to a degree. It is.
If you consider his apprehension to opening his heart to somebody again after his parents' death, if you consider that selfishness, then fine. But even if that's the case, which I don't think I agree with, but even if that were the case, though, that's very different than the selfishness that we see from him in this movie. I mean, it's I've talked about this rule before that I have. My and Adam's probably going to roll his eyes, but and Eric probably will too, because I don't know if Eric, you've heard
this. If you talk about resurrection again, I'm going to throw my microphone through the computer.
No, this is not about resurrection. Okay. This is my rule about if you're writing Batman, every time you write a Batman line, you should think to yourself, can you picture that coming out of Christian Bale's mouth? And if you can't, then you should probably rewrite the line.
Okay, so hold on a second. So in your head, out of 80 years of Batman, one actor is the be-all and end-all for you.
Well, here's the thing. That's a general guideline. I think that there is some room for
it. Back on but it now.
It is a general guideline. There is some room for other things, but not to this. I mean, this is at the completely other end of the spectrum. So no, this, you see, it's a general guideline. It's not. I wouldn't say that works every single time. I think that there's. I mean, Tom King's Batman run, which is my favorite run on the in the character's history. There are some lines where I'm like, I can't picture Christian Bale saying that, but it still works for me.
What about the entire years that the 66 show was on and everything Adam West said?
You can
picture that coming out of Christian Bale's mouth? I can't.
No, that's the problem.
He doesn't
with
like 66
that.
At all, Eric.
Wow.
Jordan, if you were
that's
born,
crazy.
What year were you born in?
98.
If you were born anywhere before that, you would not be a Batman fan, according based on your logic.
Seriously, that show, man, that Batman probably would not be what he is today if not for that show.
I totally appreciate and respect that show for the fact that it kept Batman in you know the pop in the mind of you know it kept it present in pop culture and it really I mean Batmania in the 60s as a result of that. But so I credit it for what we have today.
Okay,
to a certain extent. Doesn't mean I like it though.
Enough of your lunacy. I want to get back to parts of the movie. So
I'm done.
We brought up Barbara Gordon. So I'll go there for a second. I enjoyed Rosario Dawson in the role. I thought that was kind of cool casting. I got a kick out of the fact that basically right off of the hop of this movie, this movie has the wherewithal to have Jim Gordon retiring. And someone else, okay, obviously it's still Commissioner Gordon, but
right.
Somebody taking his place. And
do you guys think that was supposed to be a nod to Batman Beyond?
Probably. Given Chris McKay's love of everything overall Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason why I think that's so awesome was because aside from these, you know, either Batman Beyond or an Elseworld tale, you know, 99.9% of the time, it's always going to be Commissioner James Gordon in the role. Like, comics, you know, everybody's still 35, right? That's the way comics unfortunately work.
Mm-hmm. Except for Dick Grayson.
Well, yeah.
He's the only person that ages.
He's the only one that ages. Yeah, but at a certain point, they'll stop aging him too. But I think if they haven't already. But, like, you know, it was refreshing to see that, hey, you know, time is moving forward. And I thought that even though we're in a kids movie, I like that he had that, you know, he went there. I thought that was a cool little, and also the fact that, you know, she's trying to say that, you know, either Batman works with the police or
right.
We don't need vigilantes kind of is a callback to when, Batman first started because, you know, in the initial comics, he was the police were against him.
Right.
So I thought that was like a nice little callback to that. But at the same
time, well, the whole Dark Knight trilogy too, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Most and, of it, and except it, for Gordon.
Yeah.
It, it reminded me of sort of the plot of the Dark Knight Returns actually as well, where the new commissioner takes over and
right.
is
right.
That was to a more extreme with Ellen Yindel. But you know the new commissioner taking over and then, not having the same policies that Jim had about Batman.
And then also the idea of Batman working, you know, when she brings up Batman working with the police and sharing his technology, that's something that goes back to, you know, recently that goes back to Scott Snyder's run. Now, Scott Snyder, this is the one time for me that he didn't pull it off, right? Which was when he, you know, the bunny ears Batman where he was wearing the robot, that stupid robotic suit, and it was actually Jim Gordon. You know, it didn't pull it off, but the general idea of Batman, the idea of Batman working with the police was, you know, I think, to me, it called back to that, but done better here. And then the thing that got me was, the you know, going back when his first encounter with the Joker, when the Joker, he was trying to get him, you know, say that I'm your greatest enemy. And he keeps going back to Superman. I found out, and it was, you know, obviously because BVS had just recently
right, yeah,
come out. So it was going back to that. But, and then he's like, there was that line from Batman where he's like, I villain around. What did he say? I villain around?
I fight around.
Yeah, I fight around. But, you know, it's, instead of I sleep around. I couldn't, like, again, that's something that'll go over a kid's head. But I was pissing my pants off in the theater. Like, I couldn't stop. And then, you know, that brings us into the Joker's, you know, further plan, which is he gets himself locked into Arkham. And you see Batman with nothing to do because Joker's coerced the other, right, the other villains to, or forced them to go along with him. And, it, you know, the moments where Batman has nothing to do, it just shows you how, like, his tunnel vision, and this is a larger, you know, a larger, saying something larger about the character, the tunnel vision he has on his mission. He wouldn't know what to do with himself.
Like, right.
Even if the comic character, even Batman as a comic character, forget about this movie, if he accomplishes his goal and ends, you know, his war on crime comes to a conclusion, I don't know that he would know how to function as a human being. Because he's,
you know what would happen? He'd go to a cafe with Selena Kyle.
Yeah, what happened? Let's not go there because that brings back John Blake, and I don't want to touch that.
That has nothing to do with John Blake.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it does because that what time it that's does, happening. Because apparently, jackass, Blake's becoming Batman.
That jackass is supposed to be Batman, and I don't buy it.
Okay, but just taking that part, I know you have issues with the
Batman. No, you're Blake right.
Thing,
you're right.
Just taking that on its own.
No, ideally, if Batman, if Batman was ever to get a happy ending. And I don't mean that in a naughty kind of sense of the word. if he was ever to, you know, go happily ever after, I'm in agreement with you. I think he should be with Selina. You're not going to get an argument with me there at all. But my point is, for before he decides, okay, well, I got nothing else to do, I might as well retire with Catwoman, he would literally struggle to live as a functioning adult
we're going back to that the Dark Knight trilogy again, but he was having trouble being a civilian after Rachel died, and
he hadn't met Selina yet though.
Oh Jesus God.
Stuff. My God, he can never put, like, you go to bed just dreaming of that relationship, don't you?
I hope
helps me fall asleep.
Do you have a Catwoman? I hope you do, man. I hope you have a Catwoman in your life.
I pity the woman that has to live up to the Catwoman standard because there is no woman in existence.
If you find her, Jordan, you better wife her up in a minute.
And also see if she has any friends because there are not many out there, so I'd like a crack at one of those too.
That would be cool.
I'll keep that in mind.
Keep us in mind. You know, text us their numbers. But so I thought that, you know, that was a cool moment, is sort of echoing and really, really hammering that point home. And then I just want to speak to his sort of, before we get into the Joker's plan with the Phantom Zone and that resolution, but the relationship with Robin, and yes, at first he's kind of ignoring him and doesn't even know that he's adopted him and such, but as the movie progresses, you see he slowly starts, or Dick Grayson slowly starts to chip away at Batman's gruff exterior. And you know, he's not going to win any immediate parenting awards. And sure, this is a little bit on the over-the-top scale because, again, it is a kid's movie, much to Jordan's dismay. what I liked about it was that I will take this, you know, entrance. And I know Jordan is worried, well, because Jordan's expressed worry to me that, oh, Chris McKay did this, and judging with what he did with Robin, I don't know if he'd be good for Nightwing. Chris McKay has gone on record in saying that this Dick Grayson was written this way for a purpose, and that being he is the kids that are watching this, and he is the audience. He's the kid, right? And the kids are living vicariously
right,
through him.
Exactly. Yes.
So he said that when he approaches Nightwing, it'll be a very different approach and one more comic, canonical, accurate approach than what we saw here. But I did enjoy this, and you know what? Look, you know the stuff with, you know, him ripping off the pants, which explains the shorts. I that was a funny explanation, because in any other reasoning, I couldn't explain why he's wearing shorts, pantyhose, and pixie boots. So
it was a different time. It was a different time. Yeah, when they drew that, it was different.
But if you're gonna try to explain it, that's a good enough reasoning.
Yeah,
it's not that comfortable.
That's all.
This movie is why so many people don't like Robin.
No, it's not.
Oh, come on! So many people have not liked Robin for years.
Well, I know. I'm not saying that it's okay. I should rephrase. I'm not saying that it's because of this. Obviously, this movie only came out last year, so I'm not saying that it's because of this movie. But I'm saying that this reinforces the reasons that people already had for thinking that Robin is a silly character.
This is an animated movie for kids. You know what reinforces ridiculousness? Him, basically, doing everything he did in Batman and Robin.
I won't argue with that.
Not only that, but also and I take offense to this, because I'm a martial artist of 20 some odd years. Him doing laundry. What do we do? We coined the phrase, martial arts to dry his laundry, like shit like that, and you know, you. Fighting with Batman over poison ivy.
Okay, I'm not gonna argue, Adam.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah. I'll agree with you, but this is just further reinforcing that type of stuff.
No, it's not. You know why? Because most audience members, you know, adult audience members of, you know, in our age range, right? Because I know you're younger than probably not only myself but Eric.
You're both younger than me, yeah.
But people in our age range can go to the movie and say, oh, okay, this is more geared for kids. I'm not going to take this as seriously as Jordan Valdez does. That's how I'm able to go and watch this and not get offended by it. And I wasn't offended by this Robin at all. This
version of Robin was just any kid, orphan, whoever, who just adores their father, right? And yes. He just wants to be with his dad, and he wants to do everything with his father, which a lot of us when we were younger, Yeah. No, we were like that. Your dad is the first male role model you have. Right. No, you're right. Unless you had a bad father, there are some. Yeah. So I don't want to, you know,
exactly.
Not everyone had the same experience. Yeah. I had a great dad.
Yeah,
so I have
a great one. Yeah, so.
Right. So like I had this version of Robin and of Dick Grayson and Robin is one of he just wants to be with Batman, be around Batman or. And that's it. He doesn't even know that he's Bruce Wayne and Batman.
And then there's a part at the end, my two dads are both the same. I was dying.
You can tell a heartwarming story about that without making Robin a complete, I don't know what to call him in this movie,
he's a child in this movie. He's not, you know, what is he, 12? Like, he's a kid.
I would even go less based on this movie.
I mean, okay, I'll bring it up because the Batman, the episode of Matter of Family, Robin's introduction in that series,
right.
That they introduced that they went very young with Robin in that series too, but it still felt like they took it completely seriously in that, and so
that's what the show was going for. The intent of the show was to take it more seriously.
What I'm saying. This movie should have tried to
Jordan.
Do.
Jordan, did you really go into the Lego Batman movie expecting it to be serious?
I didn't, and that was my apprehension going into it.
But then, if that's not what you wanted, then you shouldn't have seen it, period. Yeah, I don't care how big a Batman fan you are.
Of course I'm going to see a
Here's the thing, though.
And after that three-hour drive, you damn.
Well, no, I don't. If I had seen the previews for this movie, yeah, I would not have made that trip. You know what? This is one I can wait for.
Like Eric, here's the comparison I'll make. I've said it already on this podcast. I've said it on many other podcasts, and I'll reiterate it till the cows come home. I cannot stand that Teen Titans Go or that sham of a movie that they're releasing. I saw the trailer. I have zero. I'm not going to go watch it.
Right.
The only way I'll go watch it is that if my sister, for whatever reason, cannot take her children, and her children really say, "I really want to see this movie," then I'll, because I'm a decent human being,
right,
and I love my nephews and nieces, I'll say, "Damn it, I really don't want to watch this shit," but it'll make them happy, so I'll go. But unless right. that happens, and I hope it doesn't, I ain't going to watch this movie. I don't care that Robin's in it. I don't care that I like Starfire. Or Cyborg. I don't care that I like the Teen Titans as a set of characters. I don't care that I'm super excited for the Titans live action show. This iteration of the character makes my stomach hurt.
It doesn't interest you.
Yeah. You see, I'm gonna see every DC movie at least once. If it's got the DC label on it,
You'll see anything that they give you. Like I made this. I've made this crude comparison before. Because I think The Flash has gone to shit this season, but that's we'll get into the specifics in a different podcast. But
yeah, I can't talk about the DC shows with Jordan here because he spoils them all the time. So I can't.
Yeah,
I just can't watch
basically
them.
Greg Berlanti, whoever runs the Flash, specifically runs The Flash, could literally throw the DC logo in crap on the screen, and you'd say, "That's the most epic version of the DC logo I've ever seen."
Well, here's the thing.
I'm not arguing.
Because you know I'm right.
Yeah.
If we weren't doing a review of the Lego Batman movie, I might have never watched this movie again. But
okay, but you didn't like the Lego movie. You knew you had to have known.
But I was going to see it at least once. I'm going to see it. If it's a DC movie, I'm going to see it at least once.
But see, that's where you and I differ. Whereas, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope to God it doesn't happen. But if Aquaman looks utterly atrocious, like to the point where it's turning me off.
It doesn't, though, but continue.
No,
that's
no, but if it did, then I wouldn't go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna lie, right? And I've said this to many people, and this has nothing to do with this Lego Batman movie. But the way I feel right now about DC films, I am not amped for anything that is coming.
You're not amped right now. But let's say when you see the trailer for Aquaman.
No, it could change, of course. Like I'm hoping it changes.
Think, man, that looks pretty good. I'm gonna go. And you'll go, but you're gonna make an informed decision based on what you see in front of you when the trailer comes. Right?
Yes.
And the marketing materials.
Well, yeah, I always try and do that, no matter what movie I see.
Jordan is already saying, "Well, I don't care. As long as I see the DC logo, I'm there." And that's just not the way. Look, I went to see Man of Steel because I love the trailers, and I still will defend that movie.
I like it too.
No end, right? It's my favorite Superman movie. I like the other ones, but personally, it's my favorite.
And I'm with you on that.
BVS, you know. Eric and I made different on our overall opinion of the movie. The trailers intrigue me. I acknowledge people that don't like it, and I acknowledge the problems of the movie. I still enjoy it to varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Suicide Squad. There are a lot of problems, and I've mentioned the belly dancing Enchantress. But you know, the characters themselves in the squad were written well, so you know I enjoy a lot of elements of that movie. Wonder Woman was fantastic. I'll watch that till the cows come home. But if one of them in the trailers and that's not just one trailer, because one trailer could suck and the next one could be amazing.
Right.
If the marketing materials don't spark to me, I don't care that it has Batman in it. They could do a Marvel DC crossover for all I care. If it looks like crap, I ain't gonna go spend money on it. Like it's just. I'm not gonna give it my time. So
I mean, I give Jordan credit for supporting stuff because
I love his enthusiasm.
Right.
But you can't see the Lego movie and then say, okay, it's gonna be it's the same character, but it's going to be magically different.
Yeah, like he was exactly the same in that movie. Yeah. What did you expect him to be different in this? I don't.
I guess. I mean, and like I said, I did like this movie slightly better than I liked the Lego movie. Because I thought the Lego movie was atrocious. I really can't.
Everything
stand that
is awesome.
Movie.
Everything is awesome,
except for that movie.
And so that speaks. So let's talk about it, like the ultimate plan that the Joker ends up developing with once he's in prison, which is to. Release.
Thanks for getting us back on track, Adam.
Yeah. he steals the fan or not? Batman steals the
Phantom Zone projector.
Projector. And yeah. By the way, I gotta mention this. When he goes to the fortress,
was great.
And he rings the bell, and all you hear is da 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 da. I was dying, and then he's in there, and you know he's.
Having a party.
The crystal, yeah.
I don't buy for a second that Superman wouldn't at least invite him. To
Jordan, it's a joke. Just go with it. Anyway,
it's got to stay true to the characters.
It doesn't because it's a spoof. It's just like if you watch. Did you see like Scary Movie and
I've
all.
Seen, Yeah,
like
I've
those,
seen a couple
that's
of
what
them.
This
I
is.
Them.
It's the same type deal. It's just a spoof on the character and on
those
all their
original
sensibilities.
Though.
On all their sensibilities, it's a spoof on it. No, those movies, the Scary Movie movies, are all like all horror movies put into one, and they make fun of it. They goof on all of them.
Yeah,
that's what this was. It was like how serious Batman is, and of course, in real life. If they're having a party, they're going to invite Batman. He's one of the group. But
maybe it's because Batman's a character that's just so near and dear to my heart that I can't separate it.
He's near and dear to my heart, too.
Trust me, that was not me trying to say he's not to you guys.
Lighten up a little. Just lighten up a little bit. And trust me, your blood pressure will go down. You'll start to enjoy things more. Trust me on this one.
So let me go back to the point, because Jordan once again derailed it with his refusal to accept that this is a spoof.
I told you this. I warned you this was going to be a rough one for me, and I apologize.
But anyway, so when he's playing around with forget about the fact that they didn't invite him. When he's fooling around with the crystals. And Jor-El's like, oh, make sure you not to misplace these guys. And he's just throwing them around flippantly. I was dying. It's like they were really keying in on that animosity or the between him and Superman that has been around.
Which exists, which does it, right. It has existed in their relationship from the beginning. Yeah. You're right.
So I got a kick out of that, especially Jor-El being, you know,
being the
Marlon Brando version.
I will say I did like the nod at the party that it was the 57th annual Justice League party, which of course it was 57 years after the creation of the Justice League.
Of course, and I can guarantee you that all came from Chris McKay, because the Warner Brothers executives don't know their ass from their face in terms of, you know, comic continuity and all that stuff.
Oh,
so that comes from somebody who loves the material, i.e. Chris McKay. So Batman has the Phantom Zone projector. The Joker has essentially tricked him into getting the Phantom Zone projector.
Right.
He's not now. Harley Quinn has co-opted the projector, mm-hmm. and Joker releases the entirety of the worst. Basically, everybody that's in the Warner Brothers library of villains gets a name drop, and then you have characters that aren't in Warner Brothers library that are still present. But don't get a direct name drop. So you have, like, we've got what? Godzilla, King Kong, Voldemort.
Yep.
Sauron. Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Yep, Agent Smith.
We've got the Daleks from Doctor Who. Dracula, you know. So anybody who's anybody is there.
I will say I appreciate. I thought it was really cool. I am a Harry Potter fan, and I appreciated the fact that I got to see Voldemort in a Batman movie. I did think that was cool, just from a fanboy thing.
Yeah.
But I think there was a missed opportunity there because they didn't have Ralph Fiennes voice him, and of course Ralph Fiennes was already in this movie as Alfred.
Yeah,
and he played Voldemort.
Yeah.
And so it felt like a missed opportunity to not have him voice Voldemort.
Yeah, Jaws is. I mean, Jaws is in it. The Gremlins.
Everybody, yeah. It's just like a pop culture smorgasbord of villainry, and it was hilarious. Like, I loved it. It was like cameo after cameo. It was great. It was like the way Sharknado does with 90s actors. You know,
right.
They bring them all in, right? So when they're all released, again, Joker with his bombs, because, hey, that's his thing. That's his thing. You know, and he basically, the bomb detonates and basically splits the city in half.
Yes.
And the big solution to the problem is, amongst, after fighting all the, you know, kicking ass in the literal sense, they have to literally bond together and link up.
As only Legos can.
Yeah. To unite and reform the city. And, you know, even to the point where for the future of their ongoing feud, even the Joker has to temporarily join with Batman to accomplish his goal.
But he got Batman to admit that.
Yeah, right. So they each got what they wanted. And then,
right.
And the implication is that the feud will continue forevermore, and it will. You know, so, but ultimately, the best parts of that third act is, for me, aside from the awesome visuals of it all, the fun visuals, and the cameos and such, just the fact of, you see Batman finally coming to the realization of, I can't do this alone. These people are my family. You know, I need to start respecting them, respecting their what they bring to the table, and also that shutting them out to keep them safe is not the answer.
Right. It's kind of like what we saw in Justice League, right? Yeah. Like, we got the same type. It's the same type of story that we got. That, yeah.
Minus the CGI.
Superman.
Yeah.
And Superman dying. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. But, you know, so, and again, this goes back to, these are issues that Batman struggles with in the comic books. Like, even when
he's in his life.
Yeah, even when he's working with a team in the comics, there are times where he's doing it begrudgingly, and he even discards what they say at points because he thinks his way is better, only to ultimately realize that, damn it, I need them. So,
right, the Schumacher films, both the Schumacher films touch on that, you know, because in both of them, he doesn't want Robin to join him, and then, it touches on that. It's something that's part of the character. It's always been part of the character.
Yeah, and while this movie may be playing it at a different speed for a different audience, it's, in that respect, it's true to the character.
I wanted to bring up some of the voiceover people who are in this movie that I did not know.
Yeah.
But yet the Mariah Carey didn't know. She plays Mayor McCaskill. I had no idea.
That's right, yeah.
Right? So like her Seth Green was King Kong.
Yes.
I didn't know Conan was the Riddler. That was you might have known that one. Who else did I see? Channing Tatum is Superman.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill, which
I never want to see in live action, but go ahead.
Jonah Hill was Green Lantern.
Yes.
Like, yeah, and Brett Musburger, the sports reporter, he was voices in here as a reporter.
Right.
Like, yes. there was a lot of names in here when I was reading the list. I'm like, wow, I had no idea. So I thought that was kind of cool, just especially Mariah Carey. I did not expect.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they didn't have her sing on the soundtrack.
Right.
I will say Doug Benson did a really good Tom Hardy Bane impersonation.
I was laughing at the voice. I found that very humorous, for sure.
One disappointing voice for me, other than Zach Galifianakis and Will Arnett, it's more the portrayal than his voice, but I'm not a big fan of his voice either. But
just doing an imitation of Christian Bale, but go on, yeah.
Exactly, go ahead.
The Batman that you love. But
guess what? Guess what, though? Christian Bale's Batman voice is incredibly menacing. I know people have issues with the Batman
voice. Except for the last one where he's like, where's the trigger? And it became a
problem. It was good in Begins. It just sucked.
You see, I love his Batman voice in all three of those films.
Of course
you do. I'm shocked.
Literally stunned, sitting here in my chair.
Because the only thing you don't like is Batman the Brave and the Bold and Lego Batman, apparently. But go on, continue.
Jenny Slate as Harley Quinn
was very... I didn't like that, and I will say that. I didn't like the Harley Quinn portrayal.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No, it doesn't help that I'm coming off of watching Suicide Squad. So that's colored my
exactly.
Viewpoint. And yeah. I'll admit that it's coloring my viewpoint. Because to me, Margot Robbie is, look, and I'll pull a Jordan and I'll say, much like Christian Bale is to you, now when I visualize and hear the sound of Harley Quinn, I start fantasizing about Margot Robbie. Nobody's going to blame me for that. And if you do, too bad. I don't care. It's my podcast. I'll do whatever the hell I got that want. But, you know, so that portrayal, but it goes beyond that. Isn't that she didn't even attempt to do the pudding thing or, you know, there was.
She did say, I think she did say pudding once or twice.
I don't think I heard it. But then again.
Oh, did she not?
It wasn't Margot Robbie, so already she was starting off on a bad foot. The only other one I would have accepted is Tara Strong, but that's besides the point.
There's a lot of other great Harley boys. Arlene Sorkin, of course, the original.
Okay, that's fine. But again,
Hendon Walsh was fantastic in The Batman and Batman Assault on Arkham.
Again, I'm not arguing with you. All I'm saying is that
I've admitted, Melissa Rauch.
No, see,
later that year.
Hers, yeah. Because I watched The Big Bang Theory, I can't.
That's true. You got the divorce.
I can't divorce.
Okay, but fine. Arlene Sorkin and Hendon Walsh are both.
Yeah, but they're fine. I'm just telling you, and I'm admitting freely, that Margot Robbie has now tainted everybody else for me. I'm sorry. She just.
You know what? And we're not mad at you for that.
Right, thank you.
We're not mad at you.
You know, most men and most women, and some women, I should say, would agree with that. So, I'm not saying anything controversial.
No, you're not.
Right, thank you.
You're not.
Yeah, but I'm admitting that my opinion is colored. It is biased. So I didn't like that portrayal either. So I'm there with you, Jordan. It's one of the few things we agree on about this movie. But you're right, Eric. The voice talents that just lend themselves to this is astounding. And
yeah, it really is. The cast is really good, for the most part. And again, whether you like the portrayals of the characters or not, the parts that needed to be over the top were over the top, and the ones that didn't weren't. Like, it was just. You know, I just thought that everyone, it was a really well done movie, whether you like it or not. I think you have to give a nod to say that it was well done. The production was top notch.
And for me, I think the two things I'll take away from this is when I'm having a just a terrible day and I want to smile and I want to laugh, I'll pop this in.
Yep.
Any day of the week. And it's also a movie where if my nephews are over and I say, you want to watch some Batman? And they're like, sure, I can take this out, and we'll all agree that we want to watch this. And anytime I get a chance to do that with them is a plus for me. And the fact that, you know, they'll watch some of the other Batman stuff because I'm their uncle, so they're born into whether they like it or not. Don't bring home some Spider-Man DVD because we ain't watching it until. We've exhausted every Batman possibility. And then,
hey, well, you're doing your duty as an uncle there.
I'll allow it only after we've run through every Batman thing I own that they're allowed to watch. But then after that,
like for me, that would be Star Wars. Like I'm a much bigger Star Wars fan. So for me, when my nephews come over, and thank God he likes it, and I'm a big reason why, I can always go lean on a Star Wars film and throw it in, and
exactly. But it's fun that I mean, I'm sure Star Wars has never gone to any of the lengths where, I mean, you feel, oh, I don't know if I should show them that. But, you know, there are certain things in the Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There are certain things in the Dark Knight trilogy that I don't want to show.
My
at least not without their parents' permission. Then, you know, basically, for instance, because my nephews really want to see Batman versus Superman because – it's Batman and Superman. Who wouldn't want to see that on paper for the people that didn't like it, but on paper. and so I went first because, you know, I went opening night. And I reported back, I said, look, Superman gets impaled and, you know, Batman beats him up for a portion of the movie. Are you okay with your kids seeing that? If the answer is yes, then they can see it. Otherwise, I'm not going to be the one that goes against that. So to have something that's safe and cool and we can all watch it. I'll take that any day of the week.
You need to ask Justin to give you his kid's cut of BVS.
He has one of those. I think it's only half an hour.
He made one. Yeah.
I gotta ask if I can borrow that.
There's also one with all the Justice League stuff removed. If you guys haven't seen it, there is one where they remove all the Justice League references. It's just Batman versus Superman, and it takes out the whole death part.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a cut of it.
That would actually appeal to me quite a bit because the killing Superman is one of my biggest issues with that movie. So I actually looked at that.
Jordan doesn't like Resurrections, Eric, and I don't want to get into a tangent, but I've already warned him that if we ever end up at the Pearly Gates and he needs a recommendation, don't come looking to me because you ain't got one. I'll be like, yeah, no, St. Peter, he doesn't like Resurrections, so you can send him whatever the hell you want to send him. I'm cool with it.
That whole Jesus guy? Yeah, we don't need to see him.
You're gonna have a problem, Jordan, when you get there's a guy up there who's not gonna be too happy with you, but well, that's a podcast for a later date, when we're much older and on the verge of checking out. To me the best cut of the ultimate, and I don't mean this is the ultimate cut of BBS. I mean the ideal version of it for me would have been an adaptation of Public Enemies. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Where Lex Luthor is the president, and, you know, sure, Batman and Superman have a 5-minute fight argument, but for the most part, they're together. That would have been my ideal version of it.
I wouldn't have been opposed to that, but that's not even the same movie. I mean, plus, we've already seen that in animated form, so I don't know if I would have wanted them to do that exact same.
They could have put some other things in it, but I'm just saying. The idea of, you know, not being so, you know, antagonistic 3/4 of the way.
Oh, then,
yeah.
Sure. Okay. I understand.
I think there was a better conceit, even though I enjoyed a lot of the elements. You know, I had problems, but I enjoyed a lot of it. So, but this is neither here nor there.
Yeah, we got way sidetracked there.
Yeah.
So, coming back to Legos.
Yeah, Lego Batman. So. Eric, before we give our rating system, is there anything else that you want to bring up that we didn't kind of touch on that you feel we missed or that you want to highlight?
No, I really think we kind of dissected this movie in many different ways. Yeah. Jordan's hatred of it, and
I wouldn't go quite that far. I, like I said, there are a few elements that I do enjoy in this movie. I can't truly hate any Batman movie, I don't think.
I would hate to see what you actually hate. That's what I would just boil down to. Like,
hey, well, you know what I hate. It's not a DC movie, but Blade.
Oh, God. See, no, we can't. Okay, that's fine.
See Eric, you're with me, right? You like Blade?
I love Blade.
Okay, I'm going to do an offshoot episode. And... you're going to be on it, nope. Justin Colon.
No, it's not.
Yeah, get Justin on it.
Oh, you better find somebody else to edit that episode.
Don't worry, Sam's my former co-host is gonna edit it for us, and it's gonna be me, Eric, Justin Kowalski, and Scott from the Suicide Squad cast, and we're gonna say how much we love that movie, and he's gonna edit it and put it up, and then I'm gonna send a renamed copy of it. Titled The Batman to you to force you to listen to it. But until we do that, so I gave my kind of final thoughts before the rating. So what are your final thoughts here?
What, on the Lego Batman?
Lego Batman, not Blade. Lego Batman, yeah.
It's one of those movies that for me, because I'm a little older than you guys and I've been through many iterations of Batman, it kind of ties them all together, and it makes me appreciate the character more and everything that Batman has been from when I was a kid to now. And it's just the character, all the characters and everything included in this, not just Batman too, because like you were saying, all the other pop culture references, and it was a really, really, really big, like I said, kiss and hug to all fans of Batman and just pop culture. I love it. I watch it whenever it's on. I own it, but I don't always put it on. I'm weird like that. I own a DVD, but I don't always watch it. But when it's on TV, I watch it.
I know. It's like, wait a minute. I'm watching with commercials for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
I do. So I love it, and they're gonna do a sequel, so we'll see.
Have they announced that? Are they moving forward?
It's supposed to be in 2019. I saw a list of movies, and I did see that. So yeah, from what I know,
Chris McKay probably won't be directing it because he's busy with with Nightwing. Which let's go to Jordan, then I'll come back to you on that for a second. Jordan, do you have any final thoughts on this movie? Have you exhausted all your ludicrous comments for the evening?
One thing I want to mention was the other nod to the Batman this movie, besides the Kabuki twins, which is when Batman's got his bat merch gun. Which, again, that is, I won't get into how ridiculous I think it is, but that's ridiculous that he has the bat merch gun. But it did lead to a reference to the Batman, which I do appreciate. So if it's going to lead to that, then I guess I can give it a pass, which is that he shot shirts that had the logo from the Batman on them, which was a very distinct logo, which I loved. And I don't have a shirt. I don't know if they even ever made shirts like that in real life that had the Batman logo on them, but I would love to have one of those. You know, now I think I'm going to look that up after we're done recording, because
I'll give you a hint, Jordan. If you go to the mall, you can get any logo pressed onto any shirt you want. So just take that logo, you know, find a high quality resolution of that logo and print it on a shirt.
Hey, that is a great idea, Adam. Thank you.
See, even when you infuriate, even when you infuriate with me with ridiculousness, I try to help you out. See, I mean, come on.
I appreciate that.
That doesn't give me resurrection brownie points. I have no idea what the hell. But Eric, back.
I was going to ask, did Eric do his letter grade?
I didn't yet.
No, I want to get to that, but I want to ask him about Nightwing for a second. I want to say, because Chris McKay.
Oh, so we're not doing our... Well, I thought he gave his final thoughts, so that...
We're going to get to the rating in a minute, but I want to talk about Chris McKay.
I got you.
So, Eric, what are your thoughts on Chris McKay directing Nightwing? I mean, are you excited for that?
I am. I like this movie. I like the things McKay has done. So Nightwing is one of those characters that is not as well known to people. So I think you have a lot, especially the mainstream. So you have a lot of ways you can go with it. I'm excited to see what he does. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm excited, of course. This is a character that everyone knows him as Robin, not as Nightwing in the mainstream. So we'll see.
So you're down with expanding the Bat Family on film in live action is...
When everything was being discussed about everything else that was happening, I was like, that's cool. No, let's do it. There's a lot of great characters and stories to be told.
All right, I'm going to get you to play a guessing game here. What do you think makes it to theaters first? Matt Reeves is the Batman or Nightwing?
I don't know. I'm going to say Nightwing, if only because I don't even know where they're at with Matt Reeves' Batman. I have no idea.
He's writing it. That much I know.
Didn't he say something recently about it being like that? He's outlining the script.
Right.
He finished the outline from what I understand. Yes. And now he's writing. And Chris McKay apparently is getting a draft of the script. Should be any day now.
Something he said, they better not call Matt Reeves' film The Batman.
I don't think they will. That was the loose title for Affleck's one, and he's not doing it anymore. So I think it'll be something else. I hope it's not a simple title like that. I'd like a different kind of title.
You want something with like a colon? You want Batman and then...
Well, no, like the original Burton series, you have Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin. Like, you have other titles, not just Batman. And then The Dark Knight, you have Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises. So you have different titles. I just don't want something silly like The Batman.
Because he keeps saying, I'm going to do a noir detective-driven story. So how about Batman Noir? I don't know.
No, that's a whole other topic for another time. Yeah. I don't like that idea, so I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, we won't go there then.
But
so you're down for the Nightwing stuff and all that. Cool.
Yeah, I want. Yeah, of course. Like I said, I love the. All these characters are great. So if you, there's stories to be told.
Get them right.
Was, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Get them right.
I'm totally with Eric on the part about wanting a name, a more elaborate name than just the Batman. Because here's the thing. We've already seen a movie that's just called Batman. And guess what? Nobody can refer to that anymore by just Batman. You have to say Batman 89.
Yes.
To know what, to, that's the only way anybody knows what you're talking about. And I went through this for years with the animated series The Batman, which is already confusing enough that there's an animated series called that. And anytime I say I love The Batman, people are like the character? I'm like, no, the animated series, The Batman. And so it's like if now it'll be even more confusing if there's a movie called The Batman. And like right. If you just type in The Batman on Google, you'll get just the character Batman. You won't get the animated series or the movie probably. So it just confuses things to make it that simplistic. Well, so
first and foremost, I'll just say this, and then we'll get to our reading of this. I trust both Chris McKay with Nightwing. He's in capable hands, and I also trust Matt Reeves. I think he's going to deliver something special. So
I agree on the latter. I disagree on the former.
You don't like this movie, but. But either way,
we got Nightwing actually, and we didn't just get Robin in this movie. We got Nightwing briefly in this movie, and did you see what he was wearing?
No, we didn't get Nightwing. I told you in the episode his quote that this was not the way he's going to handle Dick Grayson in the movie.
I know, and I'm trusting that, but you can see how it's hard for me to have a whole lot of confidence when he's only had one feature film that's been released theatrically that he directed, and it's this movie that I really don't care for, wow. And it's not. Not only that, but it is a Batman movie that has the same character that he's about to be working with. So it's hard for me to get too excited about his attachment, well, even if he says he's going to do something different.
I'm the saner version of the two of us. And, you know,
but can you see, if you had not liked this movie, could you not see how you would be apprehensive about him?
No, because I've read interviews where the guy clearly has a passion for the character. I mean, for God's sake, he has a Nightwing tattoo on his arm. By the way, he's got a Catwoman tattoo as well.
That made me very happy.
Maybe that'll change your opinion. But needless to say, I think both Batman and Nightwing are in good hands.
Well,
my message to Warner Brothers is stay the hell out of the way and find a director for a Superman sequel, damn it. But beyond that, let's get to our grade of this movie. Eric, what is your grade for the Lego Batman movie?
I give it an A, a solid A. Like I said before, it's to me, it hits all the notes that I would want from something like this movie. And I love the other thing I love, which I didn't mention before, is that it's good for adults and kids alike. So definitely a very, very solid A.
Awesome. All right, Jordan. Let's hear it.
Not my cup of tea. I mean, that's just end of the story. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not what I want out of a Batman movie. So for me, it's there's enough pieces, little isolated pieces in it that I do enjoy. I feel like I can't give any Batman movie lower than this grade. So it would be a C for me.
Well, I could give several Batman movies a lower grade than that, but
me too.
I won't right now, but that's not what we're doing. I'll grade the Lego Batman movie, and I gave it an A+ because I watched it in theaters. I loved it. I watched it multiple times thereafter, and I still loved it the same way. And the best part about it is that I've watched it with my nephews, and all three of us were smiling throughout the whole thing. And that, to me, is exactly what this movie should do. And for that reason, it's an A+. Eric, before we let you go, mm-hmm. I didn't ask you this off the top, so I'm going to ask you this now.
Okay.
We ask all our guests this depending on what the subject matter is on the podcast. Since it's Batman, I will ask you, who is your favorite live-action Batman and Bruce Wayne, if there's a difference that you make?
Okay.
And what is your favorite live-action Batman movie?
Okay, my favorite live-action Batman, and this is very controversial when I say it to people, but Ben Affleck, for me, is the epitome of Batman character.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, because his size, the physicality, everything sure. that I would picture him be Batman being,
sure.
Ben Affleck is. Now, I could switch it with Bruce Wayne, and if you allow me that,
yeah,
I will say
go ahead, yeah.
My favorite Bruce Wayne was probably Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he brought, when I think of Bruce Wayne and the way he portrayed him, that's just who I picture. Someone like that. I liked Bale. Don't get me wrong. I think Bale is the perfect like balance of both. So for me, he would be the bounce. But I like, again, I like the Bruce Wayne of the Michael Keaton portrayal of Bruce Wayne and the Affleck version of Batman. And my favorite, obviously my favorite Batman movie is The Dark Knight. That's,
yeah.
I mean, that
most
goes,
people, yeah, most people. you're not saying anything revolutionary there. But
I mean, I love Begins lot. Begins is also one that I really love, and it's an origin story. I love origin stories. But as a movie, as a whole, yeah. The Dark Knight.
See,
that's
my analogy is this. To me, Batman Begins is the best pure Batman comic booky movie.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight is the best straight up movie. And The Dark Knight Rises has bits of both, but ultimately falls short because of stupidity like John Blake. But
and plot holes.
You see, here's what I will say is, and this is what I always say, because I love all three of those movies so much, yeah. I really won't argue with anyone on whatever order they put them in.
Yeah.
But for me, it's Rises number one, then The Dark Knight, then Begins.
Because Catwoman's in it. But
well, I hate that. I'm not gonna lie. That has a tremendous amount to do with that. Seeing the Batcat relationship and the way.
Come on, we're wrapping it up here. Enough of this.
One thing I gotta mention about the Lego Batman movie before I wrap up, because we forgot to mention at the beginning, was the screenplay credit. Because of course we mentioned Chris McKay, but I've been trying to do this on the last few movies we've reviewed. I've tried to make sure that we list off the screenwriters too.
All right,
this is something that Quiver the Green Arrow podcast started doing with their Arrow reviews, and it's something that I thought was a great idea.
Don't tell people we're plagiarizing on them. Come on, you're gonna get some.
Hey, it's a great idea. I'm saying, hey, if you don't listen to the Quiver Green Arrow podcast and you like Arrow, I definitely recommend checking it out. I'm giving them a shout out. They're great.
I'm just grinding your gears. It's so much fun. Come on,
it's all good, man. Screenplay by Seth Graham Smith, Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, Jared Stern, and John Whittington, and story by Seth Graham Smith.
So yeah, all Seth, you people, if...
he's a fellow New Yorker, by the way.
Yeah, and he was supposed to direct The Flash.
Yeah, that's true.
There goes that. But Eric, where can people find you online if they want to talk Batman, Star Wars, or they want to help diagnose Jordan's psychosis? Where can they do that?
Well, as you guys know, you can find me on Twitter at final E, not finally L-Y, it's F-I-N-A-L-E 33. You can find, I also have a Twitter link to my show, which it's on a hiatus right now, but it's called The Man Up Show.
Uh-huh.
It's at The Man Up Show. That's the Twitter handle. And on Facebook, you can, I don't really know if I want to give my Facebook information.
You don't have to.
But my name's Eric, and you can find me there.
Search, and if you find it, good. If you don't, do that. Jordan, I can't fathom why, but where can people and yell at you for not liking this movie that everybody universally likes? Go ahead, tell us where you can.
Hey, well, I haven't gotten anybody yelling about my thoughts on Superman the movie yet, which is the episode as we're recording. That's the most recent episode.
The episode just came out. Give it time.
I'm gonna have to listen to it.
If you don't want to choke Jordan yet, you will by the end of that review.
But you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at ThatFanJordanV.
And if you want to talk to me, you can do that at Superhero Sci-Fi on Twitter. We are part of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by Batman on Film. So we want to thank them for hosting that. And if you want to find other Batman podcasts in addition to our show, you can do that there. Eric, thanks a lot for coming on. If you still want to come on every once in a while, if Jordan hasn't scared you away, we'll have you back on another episode where we can discuss. Hopefully we'll have some more news and we'll figure out something, maybe Superman centric or something like that, or Flash, or we'll figure it out. But
no, thanks a lot, guys.
If you
want to
come back, we'll have you back.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun. Jordan, you need a little hug. You need to get hugged more, I think. I think it was
serious. Cosplayers in a Catwoman outfit. Go hug Jordan at all.
Yes. But thanks again, guys. It was a lot of fun.
And, absolutely, man. Thank you.
Everybody else, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you didn't, blame Jordan. And until next time, we hope you have a wonderful week and a great weekend. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.